This is Digital Story Podcast number 945, April 30th, 2024. Today's theme is, it's the shooting experience, not image quality. I'm Derek Story. Why do we choose the cameras that we do? Is it sensor size, megapixels, lens catalog, high-tech features, or something else altogether? I recently polled our Inner Circle members about the brands they use and stick with. I found their responses illuminating and thought that you might too. All of that and more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. A recent conversation on the Inner Circle site centered around brand loyalty and what our photographers favor for cameras. I thought the comments were terrific and I enjoyed each one of them when I came across this thought by Rudiger Wolf. Here's what he said. Olympus, Leica, Hasselblad, Apple all have unique uses and relevance. I'm finding the shooting experience is becoming more important to me than image quality. Each has a different shooting window, wildlife, portraits, macro, astro travel, sports, etc. We are fortunate to have so many choices and options. Rudiger's comments seemed to have many heads nodding in approval. Jim Kuzman followed up by writing, "Your comment about shooting experience really resonates with me. I have some excellent lenses, but I'm more inclined to trade ultimate image quality for a smaller, more compact, and ultimately more enjoyable setup that gets 90% of the quality at 50% of the bulk and weight and 100% of the joy." Larry Borison chimed in, "I have to agree. Each camera tends to lend itself to its own type of creativity." And then Michael Alford commented, "Fuji and OM systems, Olympus, main systems. But I also have a Lumix LX100. Then Nikon and Bronica for film. I agree with Rudiger that the shooting experience is more important than image quality. At least now that image quality is so high, it hardly matters what you use." And I think that's the key factor there, right? When we say that shooting experience is more important than image quality, that's because the image quality is so good. There really isn't any bad image quality, right? So it's easy to say that the experience is more important than the final output when the final output tends to be outstanding across the board. When we talk about brand and jumping around and all that stuff with our Inner Circle members, 42% of the audience have found the brand they like and are sticking with it. And another 42% are toggling between two brands depending on the task that's at hand. And I kind of fall into that category. I have both full frame, APS-C, and Micro Four Thirds, and those configurations are all different, and each one is better suited to certain things than the other one. So it's nice, but then again, I do photography for a living, and I want to cover the entire board. But it did get me thinking about my own camera choices, and it really does go beyond brand for me into the actual camera model. And I'll give you an example. One of my brands is Nikon, but not the more modern Z8 or Z9. I like the ZF, just like my favorite Olympus model is the Pen F. And I adore Fujifilm's X100V, but I'm not interested in their XS20 body. It depends on the model for me. Along with Rudiger, Michael, Jim, and Larry, the shooting experience is my most important feature. Now, I don't know if this happens to you, but a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times, I can tell just by the picture of a new camera if it's one that I'm going to want to hold in my hands. But ultimately, holding it in my hands is the final decision maker. Let's go back to Nikons for a second. I remember testing the Nikon Z5 a few years ago. It was a perfectly capable camera, and I said so in the review. But after publishing those words, I promptly sent back my loaner, not even waiting for the full 30-day deadline. I just wasn't inspired by it. I've tested other Nikons too. I was intrigued by the ZFC when it was released, thinking that we were going to become fast friends based on the way that it looked. It had that lovely retro style. I took my loaner on a camping trip into Mendocino County, and I came home with lovely pictures, but the camera just didn't feel right in my hands. The retro design was sweet, but the shooting experience was off for me. So I sent back my loaner after 30 days. More time passed and the Nikon ZF hit the market. Once again, B&H, at my request, sent me a loaner right away. My first shoot with it was a haunted house assignment for a client. Now that's crazy. Depending on a brand new camera for a paying gig, that's advice that I would never give out beyond my own thing. That's like the parental thing, all right? Do as I say, don't do as I do in that particular area. But that's what I did. And I never sent the ZF back after that. It was just right. The shooting experience was amazing. And I was just as thrilled with its performance when I reviewed the images on my MacBook Pro. I hadn't felt that way since the X100V and the Pen-F before that. All cameras these days produce good images. It's how you get there that seems to separate the winners from the crowd. Sometimes photographers write about a lack of inspiration that strikes them. They don't feel inspired. They're not out there experimenting. They feel like they're in a rut. I'm not going to say that buying new gear will solve your creativity problems, but what I will say is that when you have a camera that really lights you up, even the most mundane situations are fun. Sigma announces 6 APS-C lenses for Canon RF mount. I have a link in the show notes to this article. It's on dpreview.com. I want to read you some of this because this has been a thing for some time now. Canon not licensing to third-party lens developers for its mirrorless cameras. So let's see what's going on here. And we're not talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. We're talking about 6. And I'm looking at the picture of one of these Sigma lenses, the 10-18. This is a nice looking lens. It really is. Canon shooters, this is kind of exciting, right? Sigma has announced that it'll be offering 6 of its DCD and APS-C lenses for Canon's RF mount, making it one of the first third-party manufacturers to sell autofocus RF lenses under license. The DCDN 18-50mm f2.8 fast standard zoom will be available from July 2024, offering a 29-80mm equivalent range on Canon's 1.6x crop APS-C bodies. This will be followed later in the year by the DCDN 10-18mm f2.8 fast wide-angle zoom, giving 16-29mm equivalent coverage. The company's 4F 1.4 primes will follow on from this, giving the EOS R100, R50, R10, and R7 users a choice of 16mm, 23, 30, and 56mm lenses that give 26, 37, 48, and 90mm equivalent focal lengths. The lenses, all part of the company's contemporary series of mid-price lenses, are already available for Leica L, Fujifilm X, and Sony E-mounts, with 3 of the 4 primes also available for Micro Four Thirds and Nikon Z mount. With the lenses being made under license from Canon, Sigma says it's been able to optimize the AF speed and support features such as image stabilization and lens aberration correction. The news coincides with Tamron also launching a licensed RF mount APS-C lens. No details on prices have been provided. Now, here is the interesting thing. And I actually think I read this in another article, this interesting thing, which is Canon seems to be open now, right, to licensing lenses in the APS-C size, but there's been no word in this article or anywhere else that I've read recently about the full frame mount lenses. It feels like, and I have no idea, I have no insight into this, that Canon's still not quite ready to let go of broad licensing for its full frame camera bodies. So we'll watch how this story develops. Maybe they're doing a test case here, right? So we'll see how it goes with APS-C. If it's positive, if it's a win-win for everyone, maybe they'll open it up more for the full frame bodies as well. At any rate, this is good news. And by the way, one of the folks on our Sedona workshop, one of the participants, had a Canon APS-C mirrorless, and his shots looked terrific. The camera looked really fun. It just seemed like a good deal all the way around. And if you take a look at some of these Sigma lenses for the APS-C models, they're sharp looking. Just, I'm glad that the door has opened a little bit for Canon licensing to these third-party lens manufacturers. Coming up in June of this year, 2024, we have our online infrared photography workshop. And I think this is one of the great ways to really kind of open up. If you feel like you're in a rut, if you feel like your shots are always looking the same, this is a terrific way to sort of broaden that a lot. Whether you like the bold black and white of infrared photography, or the exaggerated colors of infrared color photography, if you want to experiment with new techniques in post-production, if you really want to get your head around things like using LUTs and stuff like that, this class, this online class, is going to be for you. We're going to cover everything from how to test your existing camera for IR sensitivity. If you decide you want to get a modified camera, what to look for and what the recommendations are. The different types of IR conversions, the different types of filters for those IR conversions, and what kind of images do they produce? And then fine-tuning your images with software that you already have on your computer. It's really a great class. It's a lot of fun. We've done it many times. If you want to join us in June, all you have to do is use the link in the show notes or go to thenimblephotographer.com. Or go to the digital story and click on workshops in the top nav bar. We still have a few seats open. You can sign up, and we're going to start talking about it in May so that the participants will be all ready to go when the workshop starts in June. I hope you can join us. AI X-termination. Photo Room and OkCupid delete your X from photos. This may be one of the most entertaining uses of AI that I've read about in recent history. This is a hoot. I love it. All right, let me read you what they say here on Petapixel. I have the link to this article in the show notes so you can see the pictures and illustrations and read the entire article for yourself. The AI-powered photo editor Photo Room received a $43 million investment injection 2 months ago. And that money is being put to use deleting people's exes from photos on the dating platform OkCupid. Dubbed the Erasure X, Photo Room's new X exterminator saves a user's favorite selfies and portraits from the dreaded X. People seem keen to alter the past when looking for a future partner. According to an OkCupid user survey with over 185,000 responses, nearly two-thirds, 62% of single women who use the app want to erase an ex from a good photo. There is geographical variance in how many users want to delete exes from their photos. American users wish to delete exes quite a bit, with more than half of all users, regardless of gender, wanting to eliminate former love interests in portraits. German and French users at 27 and 29% respectively are more relaxed. And so they have this graph here. It's just really great. So at the very top of the graph of people who are most likely to erase an X from a photo are, at the top of the list is Philippines, 74%, Malaysia, 54%, Turkey in the United States at 53%, Singapore, 48%, Brazil, 47%, Australia and Mexico, 46%, UK, 44%. It goes on down the line. And as mentioned in the article, France at 29% and Germany at 27% were least likely to erase an X from a photo or just didn't care about it. It's not just the users with X-filled photos who want them gone. People looking at dating profiles also prefer to see portraits with just one person in the frame. Nearly 7 in 10 daters say they want to see individual photos of potential matches. Love seekers with a profile photo of only themselves get 42% more likes and 25% more matches on OkCupid. PhotoRoom's new X Terminator is very easy to use thanks to the power of AI. Users upload their images on the website, erase their no-good X, and move on. PhotoRoom and OkCupid promise a person's X will be gone without a trace. Exterminating your ex by erasing them from a good photo is set to become the summer's hot new dating trend, said OkCupid head of brand Michael Kay. So far this year, OkCupid users have already sent more than 100 million first messages to others, with about 70% seeking long-term relationship. That's a lot of first moves and many people looking at others' portraits. Whether it's to heal and move on or salvage a good photo, millions of folks want to erase their exes from old pictures, says Lauren Sudworth, PhotoRoom's head of brand. Okay, like I said at the top of the story, this is definitely one of the more entertaining uses of AI in the photo world. And I tell you, yeah, it would be nice to cleanly erase an ex or really anyone else you didn't want in the photo. But it's pretty cool where you just get to call out the ex and then boom, they're all gone. And I'm looking at some before and after samples here. And it does a nice job. It gets rid of the person and then it does content-aware fill, essentially. So whatever scenery or background is there, it, you know, does it intelligently, fills it in so it looks like a natural scene. And all you see is the one person without any other distractions. And it erases other parts. Like they do another one here where the person has her arm around. And so not only does it get rid of the person's face, but it identifies the arm as the other person's arm, and it gets rid of that, and then fills in the scenery nicely. So it might not be very easy to get rid of an ex in real life, but when it comes to photos, it looks like AI to the rescue. The Magnum Square Print Sale, and the theme this time is Fable. Now, I don't know if you've ever browsed one of these square print sales. I actually have made purchases in the past, and I have some photos that I really cherish framed hanging on the wall here in the studio from the square print sale. Let me read you about the latest one. Exploring the theme Fable, the sale celebrates the connection between visual and written narratives through a collaboration with three writers who have composed stories and poetry inspired by a selection of images from the sale. Each of the 85 images featured are available as signed or estate-stamped museum-quality 6x6-inch prints online for 1 week only. The sale closes on Sunday. So then there's all sorts of different things. So I'll put the link to the store in the show notes, but I want to just kind of tell you a little bit about it. So they have like the whole thing. You can buy the box set for $2,500. But what I've done in the past is you can get a single print for $110, or you can get it framed by them, and you have some choices of frames, $210 going with the frame. And you usually have three frames to choose from. the solid black frame, the white frame, and then a wood frame. Magnum photographers are incredible photographers with a long history. And as I went through this and I was looking to see, okay, who am I interested in? Because some of my favorite photographers of all time are Magnum. And so W. Eugene Smith, he has a really nice one here. He's one of my favorite photographers, as many of you know. So he has a terrific entry in this square print sale. Again, $110 for just the print estate stamped, or $210 to receive it framed. There's a really nice one by Steve McCurry. Robert Capa has a pretty cool shot that I'm very tempted by. A really nice black and white here by Peter Marlowe. I mean, it just goes on and on. So you have 85 images here to choose from for the sale that goes on. They look great when you get them. There's a terrific image here of, wow, I love this one. There's one by Philip Halsman of Alfred Hitchcock. It's a color shot. Alfred Hitchcock has this long cigar. Let me see. Let me pull it up so it's a little bit closer here. Alfred Hitchcock, he has this long cigar here with a bird balancing on the end of it. I mean, this is just crazy. Just a really fun shot here. Again, part of the square print sale by Philip Halsman. So anyway, even if you are not in the market for buying some fine art right now, it's fun just to look at this gallery because they're all terrific photographers, very creative images. And the ones that I have received, I've purchased three now over the years. The printing has been excellent on archival paper, the whole deal. And they're either signed or estate stamped in the back. This is good stuff. And I just wanted you to be aware of it because, yes, it's fun to have, you know, you, the artist, your work on the walls of your home or your office or wherever. But it's also fun to have the work of artists that you admire for inspiration on the walls. And then, of course, if you get to have a Robert Capa or a Steve McCurry signed print hanging on your wall in the office, well, for other people who are into photography, that's kind of a cool thing too. Cool stuff. It's the Magnum Square Print Sale. They usually do this once or twice a year. This is the latest one and is good now through Sunday. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I want to mention the Nimble Photographer newsletter. And this is the publication that comes out on Thursday. It's free. All you have to do is sign up for it, and it just arrives. And it allows me to visually complement what I do on the podcast. And I think last week's newsletter is another good example. So I talked a little bit about our fantastic workshop in Sedona that I'm still just smiling from ear to ear after participating in that with these wonderful photographers, many of whom are Inner Circle members. So one of the things that I did on the workshop when we went to Jerome, which is this well-preserved mining town that overlooks Cottonwood, it's up on a hill, and it's a functioning, fully functioning town. It's not just a ghost town, it's a fully functioning town that's also preserved. How cool is that, right? So that morning that we went to Jerome, I said, you know what? I'm just in a black and white mood. I just want to shoot black and white today. So I had the Nikon. I chose the Nikon. And I used deep tone, monotone. And then I used another film simulation, a third-party film simulation, HP5. And I flipped back and forth between those with the Nikon ZF. And that's all I shot that morning. And it was a blast. It was really fun. I shot JPEG plus RAW. And then what I did was I just basically went with the JPEGs. The RAWs were just safety nets. I hung on to them, all that. You know, they're in color. To me, they don't look nearly as good as the black and whites. But maybe that was the mood that I was in. So I selected 9 of my favorite shots from that morning in Jerome, and I featured them in the Nimble Photographer newsletter on Thursday. So it was fun to talk about the workshop on the podcast and tell some of the stories and all that kind of stuff. But it's also fun to see some of the results of that workshop, some of the places of that workshop. And that's what the newsletter allows me to do. And so if you're interested in seeing that black and white work from Jerome, it's right there in the Nimble Photographer newsletter. You can sign up for the newsletter on Substack, the Nimble Photographer newsletter. You can go to the site, thenimblephotographer.com, or you can just go to The Digital Story, and there's a link in the top that says newsletter. Sign up there, and then you'll start receiving that every Thursday. I never know ahead of time what I'm going to do for the newsletter. It's sort of like, all right, I've done the first part of the week. I've done the podcast. Now what's happening? Oh my gosh, I have all these cool shots from Jerome. That's what I'm going to do in the newsletter. It's kind of one of those things. I think you'll enjoy it. And like I said, it's free and it shows up every Thursday. I want to give a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this community, this podcast, month in and month out. And I talk about, you know, financially, it's great. It's fantastic. I love it that they're willing to contribute $5 a month toward this community. But they also just participate. They're engaged. And we have our own site for the Inner Circle. And I pose these questions. And this week's podcast came out of one of those discussions on the Inner Circle site. And I think it's really nice for our group, for our community as a whole, because I feel like the Inner Circle is a fantastic representation of our community as a whole. So when they're talking about shooting experience versus image quality in their conversation online, well, that's relevant, I think, to our entire community because they represent the community. Instead of just having some random sample out there in the wide open world of photography, our Inner Circle members come from this community, and I feel like their opinions really carry a lot of weight. So I'm very thankful to have them. I enjoy their company immensely. And of course, their support is essential to us keeping crazy ads off this podcast that none of us want to listen to. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, I think you would totally enjoy it. All you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story, nose around a bit, see what you think, and then sign up there. And I hope you'll join us in 2024. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting us. And finally, I want to give a shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. So I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I was really looking forward to doing some printing from my work in the Sedona workshop. And now I know exactly what I'm going to do. And this all came to me when I was in Jerome shooting black and white. You know, originally, I was sort of visualizing doing some big prints and all that kind of stuff. But now what I'm going to do and what came to me while I was in Jerome is I'm going to do a set of fine art greeting cards of the black and whites from Jerome because they just all hang together nicely, right? It would be a terrific set of cards. So I'm going to start printing them now. I'm going to print many sets. I'm going to sign them. I'm going to do all that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to package them up nicely. And then I have all of these gifts just ready to go when it's time to do gift giving, which is going to be later on this year, or for a birthday that comes up, or there's something that you don't anticipate, right? Suddenly you get invited to a thing. You go, oh, wow, that's a thing. And I want to take a gift. Hey, what nicer gift than the set of fine art greeting cards that people can use for all sorts of stuff, including just putting them in a 5x7 frame and putting them on the wall. They look fantastic. Having paper on hand and knowing that you want to do some prints, it just kind of fills out the whole photography process. It just completes the circle, in my view. And Red River Paper makes this easy. If you're interested in doing your own printing and creating your own art from start to finish, click on the Red River paper tile that's on every page of the digital story. See what they have to offer. Look at the different surfaces. Read the articles. All that kind of stuff. Get some paper. Make some prints. I think you will just absolutely love it. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm working on more great stuff for next week. Until then, get out there, be creative, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.